In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
See, I'm sure some of you drove in this morning looking at the tree line and just saw the destruction that we suffered through this last week. Many of you in your own ways, in your own properties, suffered the same. But God has been faithful to us and preserved His church. I don't know of anyone that has even one injury or scratch or any such thing. Isn't that amazing? It's just amazing. Ugh, what a wonderful God we have. Now, I was all prepared to preach that night. I was even going to come over here at 6 o'clock and just live stream it by myself. So I had a sermon ready and a service ready to go. It felt very much like COVID. I set my camera up and I was just up here by myself. But I stayed home for good reason, to be with my family during that time. And the storm came through, and we think the beginnings of a twister rolled through and knocked over a lot of trees over in Glenn's yard, knocked out the power line and the transistor there, or whatever it's called. And so we had no lights and no internet. So I decided not to have a service and instead save that for today. So I did a little unorthodox thing, which was to remove our readings for today and just put in my long reading of Revelation chapter 21. And the reason I did that is this season's theme was Jesus Christ is our light who was, we talked about the Old Testament, who is our light who is now, and who is to come. So we look forward to that light that is coming in the midst of this present darkness. And so I have Revelation chapter 21 and 22 a little bit there, looking forward to what we have to look forward to, right? That light that's coming, as we say often towards death, the light at the end of the tunnel, right? So that's what today is kind of all about. Jesus Christ, our light who is to come. And with that then, giving thanks to our Lord for all the how he's preserved us this last week and kept us safe, we give thanks to him and sing our opening hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy and innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Continue with our intro. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open that salvation and righteousness may be fruit.
Let the earth cause them both to sprout.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork.
And every line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun,
which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy.
Its rising is from the end of the heavens, circuit to the ends of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Be seated for our reading. Now, today's reading is a little longer one, so bear with me, but there's only one. We look forward to what is to come. We've been granted the vision of this from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 20 through 22. John writes, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her bridegroom. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers," which the Greek is pharmakoi, where we get pharmacists from, evil pharmacists really, "idolaters and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies foursquare, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also the angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp nor sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And closing his book, he writes, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We confess the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." We sing our hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
Captive is Zion.
Jesus Christ, the light who was and is to come. In these last days, my friends, we witnessed another amazing sign of our Lord's second advent. High winds came upon us, and with them, devastation. Truly another sign. Our redemption draws near. One of my favorite memories after this storm, after all the distress, all the trees were torn down, and there was nothing but darkness. One of my favorite memories was coming here into this space and looking up and seeing that candle still burning. It was just moved, actually, from there to there. But we were cast in the darkness. I just had a little tiny flashlight in my phone, right? And there was the eternal flame. A symbol, indeed, but a symbol of the truth that even in the darkness, our light still shines. And that light is coming. And when he comes, it will be in an instant. So he warns us, be prepared at all times. At my house, we weren't fully ready for this half-formed tornado, this twister, to suddenly beat against our house and cast us into the darkness. We didn't have our flashlights in hand, and one of us was still getting food in the kitchen upstairs. In an instant, down the stairs, right? And sheer uneasiness in the household. There was a brief moment of panic. That mistake won't be made again. Next time, we will be fully prepared. In the same way, let us also be fully prepared for our Lord's return. For it is a day of destruction. Even heard there in the epistle that we read, the earth and the heavens will flee from him and they will have no place to rest. They'll just be gone. There'll be nothing. In an instant, he will be here. And everyone will appear before him, even those who are dead. So let us prepare ourselves at all times for Jesus' return. Let us put away our pagan tics like good luck and knock on wood and other superstitions like these. These are unfitting for those who believe. Let us put away all the works of darkness and destruction which our Lord speaks of in his epistle. Let us believe in Christ and walk as children of the light. Live as if today were your last, but even more so, live as if at this very hour your Lord comes. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Children, honor your father and your mother. Workers, serve your employer with honor and respect as to the Lord. Bosses, show no partiality, for Christ is both their master and yours. And all of you, love one another as Christ has loved us, according to his word and his will, not our own. Now, Scripture teaches that Christ will come visibly in the sight of all men. In divine majesty and surrounded by all the host of his angels, Christ will return to judge the world and to usher his church, his bride, into eternal glory. This vision, which we behold but dimly, is worth our attention this day. It is the light at the end of our tunnel. After the final judgment, Christ will turn to his own, whose names are written there in the book of life, and say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit a new creation, a new heaven, a new earth, which Christ prepares from himself, for he is the foundation of this world and the world to come." Excuse me. Now, it would be one thing to enjoy eternity as Christ's servants, right? That would be good. He's a good master. But this will not be so. The glorified saints will not cringe as serfs and slaves before their king, their far-off king. Rather, we will attend the heavenly court as those ennobled by the king himself, his friends, his brothers, co-heirs of everlasting life. He calls us to himself to stand as equals with him and to dine in the presence of our king forevermore. The 24 elders will be wearing golden crowns, it says. Crowns are fitting as those ennobled by the king. They shall be before the bridegroom, who in that moment will embrace his bride, the church, in the fullness of marital embrace, and bestow upon her the glory of God, pictured under the image of precious stone. Full union with Christ. This union entails becoming perfectly like him, as the scriptures state. When he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And elsewhere it's written, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, Adam, so also shall we bear the image of the man of heaven, a second Adam. And elsewhere it says, he will change our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him to subject all things to himself. What a union. What a marital embrace. Two shall be one flesh, union with God. The bride and her bridegroom, her husband, her all in all. He is her joy, the water of her life, the tree from which she eats fruit for every month. Her temple for divine communion. The light of her new creation forever. As he embraces his bride, he will orient her perfectly to the Father. All obstacles between God and his creatures will be removed. We won't be distracted with sin or any created thing. Sin will be no more, no part of any child of God, no blemish on any member. The whole body of Christ, pure and clean, united as one, with both head and members centered unreservedly upon the Father. And seeing thus all things in the reflection of uncreated light, the citizens of heaven will behold the face of the Father in the face of the Son. Such is the fruition of Jesus' high priestly work. This beholding of God, an unveiled glory, will transfigure believers in soul and body. The glory of God himself will be reflected in us, and we will know God as God knows God. Communing with the eternal Godhead, the Trinity, in unveiled fullness. Our communion will satisfy our intellect, and indeed satisfy our every desire. Pure enjoyment will be ours forever. The new creation will be liberated completely from sin and its stain. It will have no more power over you or anything in your life. No more will creation be an instrument for idolatry. No more cause for grief or for pain. But henceforth, creation itself will only be the occasion for songs of praise and adoration. Imagine kind of like the sound of music, right? She's out there in the fields. Just pure enjoyment. This transfiguration wrought in the souls of the blessed will extend also to our bodies. For at his coming, our Lord will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body. By way of contrast to our present bodies, disfigured through the curse, the resurrected body of the saints is described as a spiritual body. This phrase is an interesting one, spiritual body. It doesn't mean that we won't have material bodies, right? It doesn't mean that. But rather, it directs us beyond the range of our present experience. This term, spiritual body, this bespeaks the glory of divine indwelling. Yes, we must prepare ourselves to register as yet unimaginable the perfection of the resurrected body. Now, participating in the unchangeableness of God, we will shed the crassness which pertains to these earthly body parts, and all the blessed shall be transformed to the fullness of Christ's resurrected body. As he is, so shall we be. The glorified will enjoy an equality of bliss in that each of the saved will rejoice alike in God, in his will, and in his works. And yet, this equality will by no means be impaired by the inequality of reward. We'll be equals, and yet there will be variety based on the works performed by us here in time in the state of grace. In other words, we teach that God offers and promises rewards based on the works of the faithful. Good works are meritorious. That sounds very strange to our Lutheran ears. Good works are meritorious. Not for the forgiveness of sins, or grace, or justification, for we obtain these only by faith, good Lutherans. But they are meritorious for other physical and spiritual rewards, both in this life and in the life to come. As Paul says, each shall receive his wages according to his labor. Therefore, there will be different rewards for different labors. We shall all shine differently, just as star differs from star in glory, 1 Corinthians 15. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness now in this life like the stars forever and ever. My friends, does this not encourage you in good works? It should encourage you to know that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. He will reward you. That's awesome. Final thought for today. Holy Scripture speaks of heaven as a banquet. By doing so, it directs us to the perfect fellowship that marks our life together now and will mark our life together for all eternity. We come to the banquet prepared both on this side of glory and the next. That's what Christians do. We gather together week after week to dine with God. We dine and we will dine with those on earth and in heaven. This banquet is the consummation of pure love. Love which remains even when tongues and prophecies will cease. Love which endures it all. Love which is supreme over faith and hope. Love which embraces the divine love for man, the creature's love for God, and the love of men and angels for each other. We shall delight in this banquet love forever. When we have finally arrived at the new creation, there we shall be still and see. We shall see and we shall love. We shall love and we shall praise. Behold, what will be in the end without end. For what is our end but to reach that kingdom which has no end and to enjoy eternity in divine communion with our God, who bestows on us even today nothing less than himself. Jesus Christ is our light, who was and is to come. Our eternal light, that uncreated light forever. Amen. Amen. Some announcements here for you. It's a busy time of year, so just bear with me for a second. First, giving thanks to our Lord. Count it all joy, James says. Count it all joy when trials come upon you. Thanks be to God for all who came to the aid of their neighbors after this storm. Whether your works were seen or unseen, our Father knows them. And from him you will receive rich reward. Bless the Lord. We will be caroling today from 3 to 5:30. If you can come about 2:50 or so, we'll organize ourselves, depending on the numbers, into either two groups or just one, and we will be making four stops. Children's Christmas Eve practice this Wednesday, 6 to 7:30. And you see there to come to the service on Friday, about 20 minutes early, I think I said. Yeah, 6:10. The Christmas Eve service will be at 6:30, and then the Christmas day at 9 o'clock, and I underline Mass there, because that's right, the old way of understanding, the Mass, the sacrament of the altar. We won't have that on Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate Christmas, not just remembering Christ, but the Mass, that he comes to us just as he came as a baby in his flesh and blood. He comes to us there on that day. Great time to be together. The day after Christmas is another Sunday, so a pastor's got three services to prepare. And for that reason, not only for my sake, but also for all of our sakes here, we will not have Sunday morning Bible class or Sunday school. Just take a little breather and get together again. And the other announcements that are there for you, I commend to your reading. And then one that was just handed to me today. Dart ball will begin in January. See Carrie Hinkledye for a schedule. Look forward to that. Oh, and just this week I met with Jim and Dory Bartholomew, and they told me that Mike is doing very well, and so he has been removed from our prayers. They're getting a little shorter, so that's awesome. Give thanks to God for his healing and continued healing for all those in our prayers. And with that, we continue with our prayers by first singing the offertory. Congregation, please stand. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, for our pastors and missionaries, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all husbands and wives and for all families, from generation to generation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all babies in the womb and for their mothers, especially Holly, Anjali, and Hannah, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation and its leaders, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the cleanup and restoration after the storm, for seasonable weather, and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Carrie, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, and Frank, for Lorraine, Larry, Janice, and Daryl. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Have mercy.
body of Christ given for you, then keep the body of Christ your life, given for you. Then keep the body of Christ your life, given for you. Christ, we are his peace. He is your life forever.
the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We stand to sing the New Dominus.
Lord, now that is thou thy servant, depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen, amen, amen.
May be seated for our final hymn, just the two stanzas, 1 and 4.
Paradise restored, and past the angels' flame.